Welcome back to Formula Girls. I'm Megan Gibson, and with me as always is the fabulous Molly McHenry.
Hello.
We also have a couple special guests today. We have a former Formula Girl, Christine Anderson.
Hey, nice to be back.
I know, we're glad to have you. And we have our producer of Formula Girls, Jim Canestrieri.
Hello. First time my voice has been heard on this podcast.
It's like Dr. Oz.
Like Dr.
Oh, yeah.
Usually
behind the curtain.
like Oz, the magician.
Oh, yeah, no, okay, not the plastic surgeon.
That's what I was thinking, the podcast surgeon guy. Yeah, not him. No.
Well, we're glad to have you on this episode, which is a very special one for us. We're celebrating our 100th episode of Formula Girls.
Yay.
That's crazy.
I know. I come along at that tail end of this, so you have a lot more episodes under your belt, Christine.
Oh, I don't know. I guess so. It was rough go at the beginning. We had a lot of restarts and start backs, and it was a little bit of frustration.
Oh, we were trying just to figure it out.
Yeah.
Is what we were doing.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. The whole point of the podcast from the beginning was as a sales tool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were trying to provide something for our salespeople to understand the formulations, and I recognized early on that Molly did such a good job of explaining how the formulations worked that I thought we've got to capture this somehow and start getting this out to our salespeople, just so that when they went in to make a sales call, they were able to be fully versed on how all the chemistry worked. And so from the beginning, the format was going to be something that we were going to link to particular formulations on our website. Mm-hmm. And so all of them still do that, except for this one we're doing today, which we'll just put on the website. And if anybody wants to see or hear, rather, the general 100th podcast, they can link on it and listen to it from there.
Absolutely. So this one is going to have a little bit of a different flow. We won't necessarily be talking about a specific formulation, although we do have some cast favorites that we'll talk about briefly. And then we'll ask some questions to Molly about formulating. Let's start off with our cast favorite formulations. Jim, let's start with you. What is your favorite formulation that we formulated or that we've talked about on the podcast?
Well, my favorite formulation was an early one that I think that we did, which was micellar. I keep calling it micellar water, but it's micellar solution.
It's a classic.
It is a classic, you're right, which includes D9, polysugamous D9 in it. And the reason it is a favorite for me is not because I remove makeup, because I do not remove makeup. In fact, I don't wear any makeup at all.
You could have a second light.
But the reason I included this one is because it's my wife's favorite and she loves this stuff. In fact, I've got to get like a quart of it from you before I walk out of here. Because I know, I'm sure a lot of people are asking for this stuff. But the other, it's a great formulation in that it is a simple one. It's a cold mix. It goes together, I guess, relatively easily. I don't know if there's any issues with how the glycol mixes in with this stuff.
You can put that one together in 10 minutes, no problem.
Okay, well, easy. I can put it together in 10 minutes. That's an amazing formulation. But that's the reason why this is my favorite one, and it's been a crowd favorite. We've given this one out at trade shows for many, many years. We've hauled this stuff all over the world.
And then I think the last couple of trade shows, we didn't take it, and people were really disappointed that it wasn't on our stand.
We decided
to like mix things up and be like, we've had it forever. Everyone's tired of it. And then we stopped bringing it, and everyone's like, where's the micellar water? Like, I didn't bring my makeup remover. I needed this one. So
that is funny. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's my favorite one.
I still need to try it, by the way. I've heard so much about it, and I've yet to try it.
Well, I'll go next. Mine was the Clean and Simple face wash for two reasons. It has a lot of our products in it. Mm-hmm. And then it has our newest product was the Sugar Citrate L1C, which was like a next generation Sugarnate 160NC. But I like this one taking it to the shows because I didn't have to worry about bringing my own face wash in my giant bottle. I would just kind of swipe these off from the stash that we brought. But yeah, it was just super, I just really liked it because it was really mild and I have a sensitive face. So
yeah,
I don't know if it's easy or not to put together. It has a lot of ingredients, so it's probably a little bit more difficult than gins.
Yeah, it's still relatively easy. There's, you know, just one heating step, one ingredient that's a paste form, the rest are liquid. Right. So it's very easy to put together still. But that one we had a lot of interest in, so we have all this extra data on that one. So it's one of my favorites too.
Oh, cool, yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah, we showed that it had like good detergency, but also was really mild and actually had data to back it up. So yeah, that is one of my favorites also.
And then it had our Coleteric BBS, which was the sultane from the Babassu oil. Which is, I think this was like one of the new ones.
We did that, trying to pronounce that.
I had to re-edit that one like a half a dozen times before we finally got that one nailed.
Babassu or Babassu? Who knows?
I think the emphasis is on the Babassu.
Maybe. Every time. Who
knows? So. Well, what's your favorite, Molly?
Okay.
You're the formulator.
Well, my favorite one is partly a bit of nostalgia. It's the exfoliating sugar scrub, because I remember when I first started working at Colonial, every Christmas we would make this and hand it out to everybody in the office. and I just really like the formula itself. You know, it's exfoliating, but then when you go and lather it up with water, it foams and rinses really easily. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit different than your typical sugar scrub. But yeah, that's always been one of my favorites.
And I it's just regular sugar in that stuff too, isn't it? I mean, yes. Is it any special, like, you know, Himalayan sugar or anything like that?
No, I mean, that's part of why I like it, because it's fun. You can swap out some of the sugar for a Himalayan salt or charcoal salt, you know, if you wanted to make it, you know, differentiate it somehow. Mm-hmm. But this one is just regular sugar.
So Publix sugar works fine with it. Okay.
That's fine.
Interesting.
All right, well, we'll end with me. I really like the handmade style shampoo bar. With traveling, I really have come to not like to bring stuff kind of like Christine, where you can just use something that's already there. And the shampoos bar has been really easy. And I usually, of course, don't use it all, so I can take it home with me. This one foams really good in my hair. And it always feels really, really clean afterwards. Like, I feel like I've, because I usually only wash my hair about once a week. So, and I can just use this once. I don't have to, you know, rinse and repeat. Yeah. So I really like it. And
cool artisan feel too.
I always kind of like painting my hair with the shampoo bars. It's like, this is kind of neat.
it's different to get used to. But it's I remember, where was I? But I needed another one, and I was looking for a conditioner one. I was like, well, I'm at the store. Let me look around, and I'm looking, and I'm like, I just thought it was going to be a lot easier to go to the store and find a shampoo bar. And that's when I was like, oh, Molly, can I get another one of those? I don't know. But I really like it, so I'll continue to use them. Okay, so when formulating, what's it like coming up with formulations? Is there a process? Does it start with just ideas? What's that like?
Well, there's definitely, you know, always a changing consumer and regulatory demands to meet. So it's usually a pretty long wish list. you know, you want something that's natural and mild, environmentally conscious, only uses ingredients from this list. Right. Of course, something that, you know, is effective, but also something that the consumer perceives to be performing well.
Yeah.
There's certain sensory characteristics that you want in use, like foam or slip, that don't necessarily relate to the effectiveness of the product. Price is definitely a factor. So Dennis a lot of time talks about the three P's when there's a new formulation: price, positioning, and performance. So what's the budget? What's the story? What does it need to do? Sometimes you can have it all, but a lot of times, and more realistically, optimizing a formulation requires you to focus on one target at the expense of others. So it's good to know your priorities with those three P's.
Right. Is that, I imagine, can be challenging.
Yeah, sometimes, but that's fun, you know, to work on something new. A lot of times with these, you know, unique and innovative surfactants that are new to the industry, it does take some different techniques to formulate with them. But yeah, a challenge can be fun.
Yeah, definitely. So when you're coming up with formulations and you've got an idea and you're starting to put it together, how do you determine the use levels of the different ingredients in the formulations?
Didn't you say you get this question a lot with sales?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for sales, you want as much of our material in there as possible. Put it all in there.
I mean, yeah, from a performance standpoint, there's probably...
And nobody else's.
No, and nobody else's, just ours. Yeah, right. You only need ours and water some. That's fine. But I know you can, like, overload a system. When does that kind of happen?
Yeah, it'll be different for each product. I mean, there's, of course, suggested use levels for a given ingredient. And that can be a great starting point. But really, the ideal level depends on, again, what you want to optimize for, depending on the kind of performance and positioning versus price. You may be cutting back on some ingredients and increasing others so you can maybe get a lower cost, a higher natural content, whatever the goal may be. So every project is going to require a unique solution, but from a performance standpoint, there probably is a maximum amount before you hit a bit of a plateau and you're not getting any extra benefit from increasing that amount. But there's also something to be said for using too little. There's a minimum amount needed to get a benefit of an ingredient. So if you're not using enough to get that benefit, then you're basically driving up the cost for no reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I know I feel like we had a formulation and it had an amphoteric in it. And I think we like loaded it pretty high because we were like trying to get it like bubbly and foamy and thick, but it almost like made the formulation too stringy, which people didn't like.
Because like balancing
when you would, when you would like squeeze it out of the bottle, it wouldn't just like, when you would let go of the squeeze, it didn't stop. It kind of like continued to squeeze. So it was like too thick.
Yeah.
But it foamed really well. But nobody wants a runny formulation. But.
Yes, definitely. It's hard to get that balance sometimes of it being something that's thick and mild and foams well.
Yeah.
And
cheap.
Yeah, and cheap.
Sorry, economical is the word.
Right, right.
No, I think cheap is the word.
So do you have a favorite formulation or type of formulation that you prefer to make? Is there one that's easier or...
Definitely when I get sample requests, I probably prefer the formulations that are cold process, especially the ones that use blends, just because they're really quick and easy to put together. You're just throwing the blend into water, adding fragrance and preservatives. So it's, you know, ready to go very quickly, but it's definitely more fun to work on either a unique product concept, like the, like when we did the waterless trend and the shampoo bar, stuff like that. Or else working with a unique and innovative surfactant, just figuring out how to work with those are kind of like a puzzle. So it's different. It's fun.
Nice.
We have different ideas of fun.
So you mentioned, you know, new chemistry and new formulations. When you're working with new chemistry, how quickly can you tell if something is going to work or not? How can you tell if you're headed in the right direction or the wrong direction?
In formulating, well, usually I would start with a basic performance test on the ingredient itself if I don't already have that information.
Yeah.
The exact tests would depend on the type of product, but it would be a combination of lab measurements and subjective testing. So, you know, we can run foam and irritation tests, measurable things like that, but also just trying it out on myself.
Yeah.
So if it's made it to the point where I'm trying to get it into a formulation, then I have reason to believe it performs from those tests. And now I'm just, you know, kind of looking at how it behaves with other ingredients, but I would say I definitely don't give up easily on something new because, you know, if we're talking about those innovative, unique surfactants, then it's usually not a drop-in replacement situation and I have to take the time to figure out how to work with it.
Yeah. So in your process of formulating, have you ever created something that you thought was junk, but everyone else thought was great?
Not junk, but there have been prototypes where I was surprised they were so popular for sure. Not because they were bad, but you know, like Jim, your favorite, the micellar solution, that was one of our most popular prototypes for a really long time. And it's just, it's like you said, it's a really simple formula. And the ingredients in there are at such a low use level. It's, you know, 95% water. But yeah, people really love that one. So, yeah, minimal formulating, and you've got a fan favorite there. Let's see. There was one, another one I can think of that I had a very small list of ingredients that I could use because it needed to be sulfate-free, palm-free, coconut-free, betaine-free. Yeah, so the list got small. So it ended up being just a combination of a few amphoterics. And I mean, that was one where, you know, of the three Ps, positioning was the priority and performance and price were secondary. So I was surprised at that one at how many people came and asked for a second sample or said they really loved it. So, you know, we were able to check that performance box too, at least from a consumer perception.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What is your favorite episode that you guys recorded together? I really enjoy listening to them myself. So
do you remember recording in the library?
Oh yeah. We recorded in the library. That didn't work out very well because it was right next to the bathroom and the water fountain.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something. There's always somebody breathing too loud in the hall.
Yeah.
I don't know. Train going
it
by.
Was like a very loud library, weirdly. But
yeah, we really picked up speed on a lot of it during COVID.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because we weren't going anywhere or nobody was, I mean, we weren't traveling. We weren't doing anything. And so we really had a real steady stream of them that came through at that time. But the problem was always the same. The train would go by and we'd be in the middle of it and we'd have to just stop for a long period of time.
Your hand would go up.
While the train would go by. Let's wait about 5 minutes and then we'd pick back up where we left.
Yeah. I liked recording some of the ones with John Baxter for
that's
like
right.
The men, you know, the men ones.
Yeah, beard bomb.
Yeah, beard bomb. Beard bomb. Because he's one of the very few people that have beards and like, you know, maintains that, I guess.
It's a good sport trying all those out.
I know.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, Christine, do you miss being a part of the Formula Girls on a regular basis?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I had a lot of fun recording with Molly. It is challenging to like, and this is more on Molly, is coming up with a new formulation to talk about.
Well, we've enjoyed having both of you guys on this episode. I'm a little bittersweet, Jim.
No.
That you'll be retiring. You won't be behind the microphone or the
curtain
the anymore.
Monitor, I don't know.
No, but I've enjoyed doing it too. It's been a learning process for me to figure out how to edit it. And some of them have been easier than others. Yeah, some of them have been easier than others. And some of them we just frankly redid the whole thing. You know, we just started over and said, that one just did not work. Let's just do it all over again. And those worked fine too. But I've always enjoyed it. It's been fun to hear all three of your voices and figure out how to make them work and sound as seamless as possible. For anybody that's listening, though, to like the first 10 or 20 of these, I just really apologize because they were pretty awful editing jobs. They were terrible editing jobs. I was hacking those things to pieces. But y'all got better as we went along. I mean, you really did. There were some that, I mean, I might have had only a half a dozen or so edit spots in it. And other than that, they were done, so... Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what I did not like were the videos. I did not like doing the videos.
I pretend those don't exist.
I liked the videos.
I do not like them. My face doesn't need to be on camera. Don't. Just, I didn't like them very much.
Those are some of my favorites. I don't know, because I just like having the visual with
the
content.
Yeah, I guess so. It is nice to have the visual. I mean, we tried, but it was just a little weird to like be on camera. So, it's okay.
Well, I want to thank you guys again for joining us for this episode. And we appreciate everyone tuning in and listening. And if you have a favorite formulation, let us know. Which one's yours? Which ones have you enjoyed listening about, using? Tell us. And as always, the formulations featured in this episode are available for download by visiting our website at colonialchem.com/formulations and are intended for use as a starting formula and may be modified as needed. Colonial Chemical does not guarantee exact results, but we are ready to help you in any way with your next formulation project. Visit colonialchem.com/formulations, and thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
And the sound will now go out.
Does everybody feel like they got to talk? I always feel like I'm hogging the
talking.
No,
Molly.
Oh, no,
Molly. This was wonderful.
Molly.